We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m., and if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on gunfire erupts after Proud Boys and anti-fascists openly brawl in Portland without police intervention, and a Texas school district changes dress code to get around a mask mandate.
Also, why did OnlyFans ban sexually explicit content? It says it's the credit card companies. An exhausted, defeated, and sad healthcare workers in OHSU's ICU treatment COVID-19 patients who are sicker and younger than ever before.
Man, but let's get right into it. Far-right groups gathered Sunday in Portland for an event they call the Summer of Love. Even as the rally date was chosen to commemorate an extraordinarily violent clash last summer in the city. The event ended with a brawl along busy streets in the Park Rose neighborhood and shots being fired in downtown Portland. No one was reported injured in the shooting incident. Anti-fascist and far-left demonstrators gathered downtown early in the day to oppose the far-right gathering. The two sides eventually clashed in Northeast Portland after remaining separate for hours, leaving a spree of violence that stretched blocks. After the violence ended in Northeast Portland, an unidentified man fired a handgun at what appeared to be a group of anti-fascists downtown. Portland police moved in and arrested the man. There's a video posted online that also appears to show someone shooting back after the man opened fire. Information was not immediately available on what led to the shooting. Early in the day, organizers of the far-right event announced they were moving their rally from Waterfront Park in downtown to a commercial parking lot in Northeast Portland. Hundreds of people with the anti-fascist group congregated at Waterfront Park despite the relocation. Far-right activists, meanwhile, set up a stage on a small trailer in the commercial parking lot along Northeast 122nd Avenue. Photos and videos streamed online showed members of the Proud Boys gathering and speaking at the conservative event. Various speakers on the Proud Boys stage referred to people charged in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol as political prisoners. As the demonstration continued, anti-fascists who had been at Waterfront Park began to gather outside the Proud Boys event. Throughout the day, members of each side exchanged words and debated each other, but no notable violence had taken place for the first hours of the gathering. That changed after 4 p.m., as the Proud Boys and anti-fascists ran along 122nd Avenue, exchanging paintballs and bear mace. Some people in the crowd threw mortar fireworks near Chevron gas station, which had to close. Police did not show up as the two sides clashed. Witnesses say the violence began when a white van attempted to pull into the parking lot where the Summer of Love event was taking place. Members of the Proud Boys later flipped the van over. The witness said people got out of the van and started to run away as Proud Boys attacked them. The witness also said they've lived in Portland for 15 years and had been practicing driving in a nearby lot with another person. They decried the lack of police intervention in the violence that unfolded. If this was in Laurelhurst, this wouldn't be happening, the witness said, referring to a wealthy inner Portland neighborhood. They would have shut this down already. The Portland Police Bureau has frequently cited staffing shortages as a reason larger contingents of officers cannot separate groups that have historically engaged in political violence. The Portland Police Bureau is prepared to monitor this event and may make arrests for crimes when the resources allow. That has not always happened in the moment, the Bureau said in a written statement Friday. Just because arrests are not made at the scene when tensions are high does not mean that people are not being charged with crimes later. Asked if unchecked political violence is inevitable, Ted Wheeler said there are discussions online suggesting people plan to come to Portland on Sunday specifically to get in the fights. We're telling them hell no, Wheeler said. If they come here, if they engage in that type of activity, we're going to do the best we can with the resources we have available to hold people accountable.
Can we run all the way back to political prisoners? There's a lot to unpack here, but political prisoners, what are you guys talking about?
What are you talking about?
This is not a, that's not a mystery. There's, people were not just grabbed and thrown into a jail without an understanding of what was going on.
Yeah, because you're not even in jail, so I mean. This is as, part like, of the course, though, right? That might be victims.
This parking lot was the old Kmart. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because the job that I worked at for almost the previous decade was the next light down. And I was joking a bit earlier with Morgan that that's a kind of a swarmy parking lot now. And I was like, how many people showed up to buy their whatever illicit items? It was like, wait, what's going on?
It's one of those parking lots.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Yes, you know, it's a lot of things happening there. But yeah, this is. There's so much nope going on throughout this.
A whole lot of nope.
Whole thing. Like the bear mace, the paintballs, them bombing their own self.
Yeah. I mean, y'all running
flipping
up and
a
down.
Van though. Flipping a van. And again, this is almost to what I was just saying of people showing up to this huge parking lot. If you haven't been watching the news or keeping up with the things, then it's easy to not have known this was going to be a thing.
Right.
They didn't get the Summer of Love flyer. They showed up to do some driving. This is a great parking lot to teach driving.
Right.
And then this
it's
is
huge.
What comes from this. And of course, the response and the reaction to this, and this is what I ask. Listeners, I would love for one time for the people who, the All Lives Matter-ish people, not that I'm correlating this to them, but probably in the same wheelhouse. With that said, I want to see the same type of outrage at this violence.
Yeah, it's thuggery.
That is thrown in any comment section of any article related to anti-fascists, Antifas. The way that people go crazy about that, and it's because it's not about what they're standing for, because freedom of speech, but it's about the violence. It's about the rowdiness. Why the destruction? Why the... I want to see that same thing just one time, because it would make me feel like... You know how when we watch a white person do like the Dougie, or they do something hella cool as a dance move and actually can move and groove, and we're like, hey, like, I like that guy. If I could just see one of these people with a flag in the blue stripe to jump on to this comment section and go crazy on the Proud Boy group for behavior like this, the same way that they would do had this been these groups that they're typically opposed to. Because again, it's all of us, right? We're all in this, right?
It'd be nice.
Just be one time.
But that's the thing, like, we know it won't happen primarily because they don't really care. They don't really care about the violence. They don't really care about the unrest. They just care about their ability to justify whatever foolishness they're down with. Period.
Man.
Like the double standards, we are constantly reminded of it. And it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them. So like for me, I want to make sure, like, you know, communities of color aren't always triggered when we see these double standards and we're forced to have to deal with this. Like, they playing in our face. Like on some real, the cops and the mayor from the rip saying, we're not going to get involved. We just hope that everyone plays nice. You're playing in my face, bro. There's no history of the Proud Boys coming here to play nice. So by you saying, we're not going to get involved, you're sanctioning their behavior. That's it. So let's just call it what it is. Y'all cool with it. Y'all cool with it. And that's it. We don't get to pretend like there was a shooting. Oh my gosh. Now the police need to respond. What are you talking about? This is what they come here for. They've never come here to conduct themselves peacefully.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I'm out.
It's always on the aggressive.
Yep. Yep.
And who cares about the Summer of Love flyers that they got out there that had all the bubbly text and
right and the tie and dye.
Like, let's do it. I mean, I get it. You know, I see what you were trying to do.
Yeah, that's the worst part. Somebody's out there like, oh, you fooled me. I thought it was the Summer of Love. There's no love at this Summer of Love event. Like, come on, dude.
Foolishness. Man. Well, Thursday's decision by the creator platform, OnlyFans, to soon stop hosting a wide variety of sexually explicit content is sending shockwaves through the internet.
Sir, I mean, it's all about several, you know, streams of income.
Look,
I'm wondering how will this affect the bankroll that you've been able to generate off of your OnlyCans page.
Look, as you look, as I've been putting together my whole setup, really ready to take off.
Right, right. Give the people what they want.
Giving the people what they want. All of this was a part of the marketing plan. You know what I mean? Like, get ready to launch, and then here we are.
Right, right.
Man. Well, OnlyFans, a website with 130 million users and more than 2 million content creators, has become synonymous with pornography. For many, performing on the app is a lifeline. Some who lost their jobs during the pandemic turned to sharing explicit videos of themselves on OnlyFans to help pay the bills. Many of these sex workers are now expressing outrage at what they view as OnlyFans' betrayal of a community that enabled the platform's massive success. Not all of OnlyFans' explicit content is going away. Simple nudity will still be allowed, the company said, as long as it complies with the platform's other policies. Only content containing sexually explicit conduct, presumably meaning sex acts on camera, will be banned, it said in a statement. Venture capital firms are often wary of investing in platforms that host adult content. According to internal documents obtained by Axios, OnlyFans' popularity and revenue both exploded during the pandemic, yet it has struggled to secure outside investment. OnlyFans' decision is also a result of a much wider and concerted crackdown in recent years across explicit parts of the internet, one driven largely by a group of powerful and increasingly assertive companies, the payment processors, who, behind the scenes, handle every swipe of your credit card, whether you're paying for gas, buying groceries, or, yes, tipping a performer on OnlyFans.
Hey, hey.
In its announcement this week, OnlyFans said his decision was driven with a view towards building a sustainable platform for the long term. These changes are to comply with the request of our banking partners and payout providers, it added. I think we're on the verge of a cultural shift in the finance industry that takes this issue far more seriously, said Haley McNamara, VP of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, an advocacy group that last year began pressuring payment companies to act more aggressively on abusive sexual content. Credit card companies are growing increasingly conscious of their own potential legal exposure, McNamara added, if they are accused of facilitating sex trafficking or the spread of child sexual abuse material. Last December, Discover, MasterCard, and Visa all announced that they would suspend payments to Pornhub, one of the largest porn sites, following allegations that the site had hosted child sexual abuse material. In response, Pornhub scrubbed its site of all of its videos that weren't produced by verified partners and implemented a verification program that all users would need to undergo if they wanted to post adult content. Though Visa later agreed to restore service to some adult sites owned by Pornhub's parent, MindGeek, Pornhub itself remains cut off from credit card processors. The platform still only accepts payments via direct bank transfer and cryptocurrency. Platforms would be required to verify the age and identity of those who were posting and who were depicted in online porn, MasterCard said, and would have to have a process to review adult content before it is posted. Adult sites would have to offer a complaint process that can address illegal or non-consensual content within 7 days and offer ways for people depicted in adult content to request takedowns of that content. The financial industry's muscle flexing has drawn criticism from digital rights advocates who argue it's throwing its weight around. Visa and MasterCard acting together are currently a choke point for online payments, wrote the digital rights advocates at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. This means that every arbitrary policy of these two companies can translate into rules that all websites who want to process payments must follow. Now, sex workers are raising their voices to defend their ability to represent themselves on digital platforms like OnlyFans. Several OnlyFans creators have stated that they are frustrated and angry at OnlyFans' announcement, adding that the decision will cost their creators their livelihoods and networks and could ultimately lead to a decline in OnlyFans' own popularity as a platform. The real villains here are the payment processors, the silent, shadowy blacklisting cabal that dictates the kind of moral behavior we're allowed to engage in, who, without any sort of oversight, can wipe any company they wish out of existence, tweeted one San Francisco-based OnlyFans creator. Payment processors are well within their rights to determine what transactions they will and won't support on their networks. In that respect, they are not that different from platforms such as Facebook and Twitter, who are massively powerful in their own right, said Danielle Citron, a law professor at the University of Virginia studying online content moderation, who also helps lead the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative, a group that advocates against non-consensual porn. We're talking about OnlyFans, where we're seeing sex workers doing safe work. It's from their own homes, they're making content on their own terms, Citron said. Payment processors have considerable power over sites like OnlyFans and Pornhub, she added. They're private companies. But should we be worried about the kind of power they have?
Look, Jeebus. I ain't gonna lie. I knew OnlyFans was around. The pandemic was a turn up. I started seeing people that I was cool with, that I had interactions with on social media. I started seeing like different links popping up and said, oh, okay. All right. And they're sharing, you know, links from their friends that are now going into sex work. Some of them went into sex work.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, okay. Now I'm starting to get a greater understanding of, you know, the economy and everything that they're doing within that culture to make it and get by. And there was a content creator, Raquel. I can't remember her last name.
Yep, I know you're talking about.
But she was talking about how up until the big OnlyFans boom, what was happening with a lot of their content was, you know, it would end up on, I forgot the other platform, Tumblr. And then it would make its way to, like, Pornhub and some of these other sites. And they're not being paid for that content. Like, it's being sold and resold and resold, and they're just not making any money off it. And I'm like, this is crazy. And, you know, I ventured and started to support some content creators and OnlyFans. And it's a healthy relationship, you know?
Right.
It's weird. I started seeing some backlash and actually, like, people kind of celebrating that these women were losing their ability to earn based on control over their own sexual identity. And it really brought a bunch of weirdos out. And it was crazy because I was seeing people on my in my Facebook feed complaining about the type of men that were making these statements. But I wasn't seeing any of the men making those statements because my particular friend list, I've been, you know, cleaning it one issue after the next.
I've been cleaning
them folks out. So wild, man.
You know, my thing is, a lot of these people that have some snarky stuff to say, if they could figure a way to not be identified, would be content creators.
Absolutely.
The amount of women, and I guess I don't have the, like, men aren't necessarily leading that conversation, but in the space of, that have said, if I could figure out a way to not be, then I would be on board.
Put a mask on, cover up your tattoos, get it cracking.
Yeah. So there's many of people that are more so, it's like, I can't get in on it, so I'm happy that it's, you know what I mean? Like it's in that space of, I'm mad because I can't.
Yeah. And then also have no respect for the work. I've seen a couple of dudes in these comments like, oh, you know, now they can get a real job. The investment in lighting, cameras. Look,
first off,
editing hours.
Let me say this. If the peen was a thing that was wanting to be seen,
right,
understand, and I'm saying this on this public platform,
say it.
I would be a wiggling weenie fool. What? Yeah, what is look. Said, oh, brother, where art thou? On OnlyFans.
Right,
if it was
right here on the OF.
Yeah.
Please. It's wild. And it's crazy because ultimately what has to happen is just another platform has to pop up. Because if OnlyFans thinks they're going to survive, they've enjoyed a huge boom because of that.
Yes.
And now you're
I know there is a team out there right now. Oh,
yeah, a couple.
The investors and so on are together to create that. Mm-hmm. Because a big shift also came when Backpage shut itself down.
Right.
That was a big scramble into what is the next thing, which
right.
then Twitter, it was this whole shift, and then OnlyFans hit in the way that it hit. Mm-hmm. And now that they're backing out of this and getting a bit weird, especially with the credit card companies. Like, I've definitely read up on that before and whatever. But the same way that the weed industry has done what it's done without being able to regular bank it, understand, and somebody is about to, this is, man.
It's wild. It really is wild. But shout out to all the content creators out there.
Yes, please.
Hope you find a new way to continue benefiting off of your hard work.
We don't hope. You will find a platform
soon. You will. Agreed.
Yes.
And I'll be there to support. I'll be right there.
Yes, Lord.
He said weenie wiggling. All right. So, a Texas school district changes dress code to get around an anti-mask mandate. Who'd have thunk it? The school board of the Paris Independent School District in Paris, Texas, made headlines this week when it voted to include masks in its dress code, sidestepping an executive order by the governor that said no government entity, including school districts, could require masks. In a statement, the Paris ISD Board of Trustees said it made the decision because it was concerned about the health and safety of its students and employees. The board believes the dress code can be used to mitigate communicable health issues and therefore has amended the PISD dress code to protect our students and employees, the statement said. The Texas governor does not have the authority to usurp the Board of Trustees' exclusive power and duty to govern and oversee the management of the public schools of the district. Ultimately, Paris ISD's strategy may turn out to be unnecessary, as the state Supreme Court on Thursday rejected Abbott's effort to halt mask mandates issued in local jurisdictions, allowing such mandates for the time being. The governor's order has been challenged by many jurisdictions and schools in Dallas, Houston, Austin, El Paso, and Richardson, had all been defying the order outright and requiring masks. Additionally, after Thursday's ruling, the Texas Educational Agency issued a guidance saying it would not enforce restrictions on mask mandates while litigation over the executive order is ongoing. Dennis Eckelbaum, Paris ISD's general counsel, has been advising school boards for over a year to add masks to their dress code, he told CNN. Mm. So when Paris ISD asked him whether they could mandate masks, he told them they have 100% authority over their dress code. That's where it actually belongs, he said. Mandating masks is no different than mandating shoes or other protective gear that we require. The measure isn't a loophole, Eckelbaum says, because the executive order did not suspend the Texas Education Code, which gives the school board authority to govern the schools of their district. This comes right under that, Eckelbaum said. And because the governor never suspended that, we're allowed to do anything under those parameters, which are pretty broad. Paris ISD hasn't seen any challenges to its dress code yet, Eckelbaum says. But the district is included in the list of government entities unlawfully imposing mask mandates on the Texas Attorney General's website. Eckelbaum wouldn't be surprised if a challenge comes in the future, depending on how the other cases play out, he says. For now, if Texas school districts want to implement mask mandates, he believes the best choice is to include masks in their dress code. Genius. Genius.
High fives.
Straight up.
High fives. And I, specifically, This measure isn't a loophole.
Right.
Look, I'm best going part? By...
the best the part, right? The governor making the mandates has COVID. So, I mean... Sir.
I think I'm going to be sick.
You haven't even done due diligence to protect yourself and your family from contracting COVID. And you want to make sure that schools don't have the ability to mandate masks. So much so, both in Texas and Florida, they've threatened to remove funding from the school districts.
Yep. Which is, help me to understand.
Right.
This is the equivalent of a couple separating, child involved, and out of spite, child support being implemented.
Right.
I'm going to threaten to take your monies if we're not together. That's what this feels like.
Child support being implemented when there's already an understanding of splitting bills. Yeah. Yeah. We already had a conversation, and then I got something in the mail. What on earth? What are we doing?
Echobomb, you are the man right now.
Straight up.
Standing on that ledge.
Straight up. I hope...
there's going to be a ledge.
Yeah. This is definitely national news, so I hope other school districts, you know, pursue this alternative, this option here. It's genius. It's part of the dress code. Nothing else to
You know what's
about.
Crazy is that enlisting the districts that were not implementing, one of the things that I, in that moment, I remembered is like California. Mm-hmm. We know California for 5 to 10 cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
California has 8 gajillion cities. Yeah. The same way Texas, we know these popular places.
True.
But there are a gabillion other cities, districts that are out there who are like, no. we are not putting this cloth on our face for any protections.
Bruh. Here's the other part for me. Like, how do you feel as the governor when the agencies within your state are telling you no, like publicly? They're just like, how good are you at your job? Like, you can't even lead your state through a health crisis in concert.
I think it leads into that space of my friends and my family are telling me I'm right. Which doesn't make sense when you're actually supposed to be a person of the people to represent.
All the people. It's your job. It's like it's really your job to provide for your citizen. It's like it's your whole job. Even former President Trump is confused and out of sorts. At a recent rally, he was telling people, you know, hey, it's your choice. It's definitely your choice. But if you ask me, get the vaccine. I took it. It's great. And they booed him.
Shuffleboard.
They booed him. And he's like, ah, it's all right. It's all right. You know, ultimately, it's your choice. But I'm just saying. He's like, you know, take it. Don't take it. Either way, you find out whether it shrug. Works. Super shrug. Yeah.
In the hands.
Yeah. Super shrug. You know. Hey. Hey.
Well, piggybacking off of that. Hospitals in Oregon are overwhelmed by the number of COVID-19 patients they're seeing.
Man.
Hospitals in both rural and more populated areas of the state are straining to keep up with the numbers of people who need life-saving help and are occupying beds in intensive care units. At Oregon Health and Science University, also known as OHSU, the day-to-day life of an ICU nurse is exhausting. ICU nurse Julie Cleese said there's no space to physically put another patient in her unit right now. For smaller hospitals that depend on the doctors and expertise at OHSU, That's not good. OHSU is the go-to place to send patients with serious medical conditions. It's one of only two level one trauma hospitals in the state equipped to handle the most serious and complicated medical issues. People from surrounding states like Alaska, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and California travel to the regional hospital for help. Our physicians are just being called at every opportunity, said Cleese. She said they're getting phone calls from people asking for all kinds of help. Can you take this patient? Can you help us consult on the patient? This patient is 26 and dying. This patient is 21 and dying. This patient is a father of four and dying. Can you help us? Mm. Our rural partners are struggling. They're at the limit of their capabilities, and that's when they turn to us, and the inn is full, Clee said. The reality is that COVID patients need more care. Something seemingly as simple as flipping a patient to help their lungs inflate and increase their chances of survival is a tedious and dangerous process. In one room, four people were involved in the maneuver. Clee said that this is the most COVID-positive patients they've ever seen in the hospital. Right now, nurses are taking on extra shifts to keep up with the workload. They're working themselves into the ground, all to help their patients, almost all of whom chose to not get the vaccine. I don't think people have an inkling of the amount of suffering that you'll experience being sick with COVID. It's extremely painful. Being critically ill is a very traumatizing experience. Mm. It's confusing. It's scary. You're alone with strangers. You don't recognize their voices. You lose your free will being in the hospital, said Cleese. That suffering isn't just limited to the people in these hospital beds. It extends to their family. The frustration around people who refuse to get the vaccine keeps growing. I would be lying if I say there isn't anger for people who are vaccine deniers or believe conspiracy theories or have a lot of misguided information about this and then end up in our hospital suffering and dying. Sometimes they'll say, I was wrong. When can I get the vaccine? Sometimes they'll deny it to their dying breath, Clee said. Some healthcare workers have quit rather than possibly destroy their or their family's mental and physical health. Other healthcare workers have said some have decided to retire early. For ICU nurse Emily Williams, the situation is well beyond just frustrating. She's seen a lot as an ICU nurse and even care for people after a mass shooting, but she said what she's encountered during the pandemic, especially recently, is on another level. Williams said people stay in the ICU for weeks, if not months, meaning that bed space can't be used for anyone else who may need it. If this continues, Williams said, people won't get the basic medical help they need.
Jeez. Yo, I remember when we were talking about beds, you know, at the height of the previous height of the pandemic. And yep. The major concern, or the way I understood it at the time, was, man, if any more people contract the virus, there's nowhere for them to go to get, you know, the care that they need. And it wasn't until, you know, this time around that I understood exactly what we were talking about and what they were facing, which is anyone that needs a bed for anything, you out of luck. Like, period. Yeah. Just, you know, a kid breaks their leg, there's nowhere to put you. There's no ICU bed. And it's being filled with people that could have made a better decision.
Right.
Like,
you know, the interesting thing is before reading some of the reports in the last week, I had a couple of social media friends that I'm reading them posting about going into the ICU. It was three different people, one that I knew personally and two others that are just social media people.
Right.
Talking about going to the ICU or not ICU, the emergency room and being there for 10 hours. 12 hours to get seen. And then seeing someone on my timeline talk about essentially having to fake the severity of what they were going to be seen after 7 hours of being there.
Come on.
Which is nuts. And as this pointed out, these are people who didn't hop on the vaccine. And this is the thing that I think people were confusing vaccine with cure.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly.
And that is something that seems to be throwing a lot of people off. even for the people who have got the vaccine and then still managed to get COVID, the thing is that the effects are not what they would have been had you not been vaccinated. Right. This is what we're trying to get you to understand. Like, it just, like, it's for all the, and again, I don't, do whatever you're going to do as an adult. If, but as things happen, what do we talk about? The freedom, free will, right?
Yeah.
And being able to make our choices. But that doesn't mean these things don't have consequences
right.
that come with them. And it's like, in my mind, in my head, right? If I say no to a thing, and then there's some type of action that comes as a result of that, once that action happens and I feel bad and maybe it's harmed me in some way, and then I come to you for help, when if I would have said yes,
right,
this wouldn't have been a thing. And I guess that's maybe extreme. That example, I don't know if it's extreme. Twisted in some weird ways. They can twist those words in some weird ways. Of course,
people are going to twist. But that's what they've been doing this entire time.
Yes.
You know, anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers have been doing nothing but all the twists and somersaults and Olympic activities.
And my thing is, like, if you want to anti-vax, cool. Just chill out, though. Like, drink kombucha and
stay in the house.
Stay in the house.
Yeah.
And if you happen to get sick, figure it out. If that's the case, right? If you because your immune system was so strong, or you thought the G5 chip was implanted in you, and now cell phone towers are going to be communicating with your internal organs.
Right.
Then chill out. Why would you go to a hospital? Because that's just the next phase. They're just going to activate.
Yeah.
Or while you're under, what if that's not saline that they're injecting into you? What if? What if?
Bruh.
Whoa.
He said, whoa. Like, no, it defies logic. You do not believe in the vaccine. However, you're going to get sick and go see the doctors to receive treatment. These same doctors that tell you you should have taken the vaccine.
I bet a lot of these people didn't play sports. Because a lot of them people was definitely had to have all them shots from the vaccines to play any intramural sport. Or,
I thought you were going to say because they're uncoachable. I didn't know where you were going with that. So I was holding out. I was like, he can go many places.
That too.
It's just, it's astounding, yo. It really is. And you would think that with the type of numbers we're getting back now, with younger communities being affected, being more affected than before, and again with the hospitalization numbers higher now than ever before, you would think that it would, you know, some alarm bells would go off, something. Nope.
Something.
Nope. I don't want to get vaxxed, and I don't want to wear a mask. Cool. Go get what's out there for you. We hope the best for you, but understand that you're making a decision for the community, not for yourself. I understand that. If you don't want to get vaccinated, stay in the house, order all the DoorDash and Postmates. Just stay in the house. Just stay in the house.
I don't know much. I'm just a man that existed in the world.
I'm a simple man.
But some things are not that hard to understand. And again, it's no knock on people and that are against or have their reservations.
Yes.
Right? Because my idea is to always be curious, always ask questions, always want to seek a little bit more, right?
Right.
More knowledge. Because there's plenty of things out there that if you're just following the lead, following the crowd, you'll follow yourself somewhere weird.
Oh, yeah.
So
right
get
off the
it.
Cliff. Yeah,
sure. But there's been too many things that we call facts laid out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a bit of not even critical thinking. Just think regular.
Just a little
thinking.
Bit. Just regular thinking. I'm totally with people having apprehensions. I did, too. And I got answers to my questions. And the more answers
we were
I
here
got,
talking about it on air.
Exactly. the more answers we got, the more informed we were, and then we were able to make a decision. You do not get to sit on your hands and say, I have these concerns, and not try to get those answers and let that be it. No, 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 no. Because you're not making, you not deciding to make an informed decision is making a decision against everyone else. Period. So maybe like we have a fellow coworker at the station that waited a while to get vaccinated because based on the way some of their family reacted to certain vaccines, this person was like, I want a specific vaccine. I don't want Pfizer. I don't want Johnson & Johnson. I'm looking for the Moderna vaccine. They went to a healthcare provider, and that provider said, oh, they're all the same. So that turned the person off immediately. Like, you're not, listen, I'm telling you my family has had these type of reactions. Like, you know, just. So they waited until they could be seen at the place that could provide them with the Moderna vaccine, and boom, done. So we're not saying just go and just take and do whatever. Make some informed decisions, but position yourself to make those decisions. Don't just be on Facebook and Instagram arguing with people.
TikTok.
You know what I'm saying? Talking about this, why, because, and you know what? Stop it. Stop it. Chill out. Because it's getting to a point now where, like, lines are being drawn in the sand. You know, people are dying. People are dying. People's children are being put at risk. Like, in-school learning is happening, and kids are ending up in the ICU. Parents are not informing their schools that they're sending their kids to school with COVID. Like, come on, man. I am the same way I make space for people that are, you know, on their journey to be informed. I make space for people that are upset and are ready to, like, really get in people's faces about it too, because people are dying. This isn't just like chicken pox or something. Like, people are out here dying. Man.
And one last thing that people throw out about, like, vaccines, and one of the stances that people have taken is like, they came up with a vaccine too fast. So the last major, I guess, pandemic, widespread things that needed to be combated with a vaccine, technology was different.
For sure.
Very different.
Yeah.
So the speed at which things can be figured out, a lot different.
Yeah.
Do you know the difference that 1990 in being able to communicate via the interwebs, what that made? An email, as opposed to whatever other communication abilities were out previous to that?
Right.
This is different in terms of the speed in which things can happen all the way around. The same way that you can you can get your food from whatever place you want in about 45 minutes. You couldn't do that even 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
I guess that's what's one of the things that are most disturbing and irritating about this, right? Because what we're seeing now is a lot of armchair and overnight microbiologists that want to have these conversations on the internet. And these are the same people that would ask that question. Well, how was it possible? You haven't even done the amount of research and reading to show you the medical advances that have taken place, in addition to the fact that this is a concerted effort from the entire globe. Health agencies all over the world were working on this at the exact same time and sharing information. So funny, right? We were at dinner last night with some family, and somehow floppy disks came up. The hard, like the three and a half joints, the high density ones. And I was like, yo, I wonder how much space used to be on those. Because I remember, like, that was cutting edge. Like,
two-digit megabytes.
Bruh, 2.4 megabytes.
Throw this whole...
You couldn't even put a song on that today.
No.
Maybe a ringtone.
Your most compressed MP3.
Bruh, our cameras don't take photos with a low enough resolution to fit on one of those. And that was 1995. Cutting edge, 1995. Like, it's the same thing with the conspiracies. These people... So I cracked the joke with another homie of mine. I said, we grew up in an era of hip hop where conspiracies are part of the culture. you know, Busta Rhymes rhyming. It's only 5 years left. Dropping his album, talking about the Y2K. Like, it was, that was part of East Coast rap culture, always looking out for the conspiracies and Illuminati. Right. So much so that the people that are now jumping into the conspiracy world, the conspiracies that they're concerned about are outdated. Technology is past it. It's like it's like somebody from the Jetsons saying, we're from the year 2012 and we have flying cars. What are you talking about? So your concern is, you know, they're going to put chips in us and it's the mark of the beast and tracking devices. Bruh, that's what, honestly, that was a concern before cell phones. You're still worried about them tracking you. So they're going to put it, the chip, in the vaccine to track you.
When there's people who are doing it willingly, like they're putting actual chips to show that they can pay for things and all of their IDs and everything. So, yes, technology, there are elements of technology that are very scary.
Sure.
To myself, I see certain things like what I just explained. I just actually seen a thing about a stem cell and them creating a brain, and then the brain grew eyes, and they were kind of wowed by what was the formation of what looked like eyes. Crazy things.
Right.
This is the advancement. This is, we're advancing. Yeah. And so what we're advancing into is convenience, speed and convenience.
Yes.
That's what a majority of everything in terms of moving forward is about. How do we make this easier?
Yeah.
How do we automate this? That's a better word for how do we make this easier and faster? These things are happening and going to be happening. Not in a sneaky back doorway, because there are plenty of they talk about like products, and there's different the stages of adopters. Mm-hmm. And you have the people who, no matter, the first round of anything is trash.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of people lined up to try the first round.
Yeah.
Of
those early adopters.
Early adopters.
We used to be there until we realized that I'm not rushing to be in line for anything, because those first ones that come off the line are garbage. 100%.
Look, all the bugs. I don't even update my phone until it's the edition point something.
Right. I need that second version.
the changes and so on. But people, again, I'm not putting on, I won't be the guy of telling you need to go do what you do, but understand that there are there's things that come with whatever your choice is.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't lie to nature. A lot of y'all lied. Y'all put on masks. Y'all took off masks when the mandate went down. A lot of y'all lied about getting vaccinated. And now it's showing, because over 90% of the cases are unvaccinated people. So y'all were just out here lying, moving amongst us, you know, giving it to us for us to give to other people. Cool story. You know what I'm saying? Now you're in the highest percentage of people that are at risk. You don't have to deal with us anymore. This is nature. Whatever happens is going to happen. Like, you know, so we don't wish it
to help nurture you.
That's listen. I think we've said enough without wishing revelations on anybody. I think.
Make sure you all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run Up the Numbers, hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush. Music by Seas.
All this for not getting the vaccine.
Get it together,
guys. Yes, Lord.